When you just look at the raw stock performance numbers this year, the story seems incredibly simple.
Maybe a little harsh.
Yeah, maybe a little harsh. You have competitors like Robinhood. Their stock is up a staggering 345%.
An unbelievable number.
And then you look at Coinbase, which, you know, we often consider the benchmark, the industry leader. It's only up, what is it, 2.39%?
That is such a vivid and frankly painful contrast, especially for a company that's supposed to be in this high-growth crypto sector. I mean,
Right.
on the surface, if you were a purely short-term investor, you'd look at that chart and just conclude it's a massive competitive failure.
Right. End of story.
Moses.
Done. Move on.
Exactly. But here's the puzzle that really drew us to this source material. Why are smart long-term investors, and I'm talking about the ones who truly understand infrastructure, why are they still paying such close attention to Coinbase? Why are they completely ignoring that short-term stock performance? What are they seeing that the general market, which is, fixated on meme stocks and daily volume, simply isn't catching? Well, the answer, and our sources lay this out so clearly, it lies in their complete structural transformation. Coinbase is no longer defining itself as just a highly profitable but, very volatile trading venue.
Right, it's not just about fees anymore.
Not at all. They are transforming into what analysts are now, kind of confidentially, calling the everything exchange. It's a full-on infrastructure play, not a brokerage play.
Okay, let's unpack that transformation.
Yeah.
Welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is laser-focused. We're dissecting this complex, this really fundamental shift happening right now inside Coinbase.
Yeah.
We're going to move beyond the noise of daily trading volumes and quarterly volatility to look at the structural massive changes the company is making, the moves that are supposed to secure its future dominance.
And we have a pretty robust roadmap for you today. First, we're going to immediately address those short-term struggles, why they mask a potential and I think profound long-term dominance. We'll specifically look at the reality of that massive $1 trillion analyst valuation gap.
$1 trillion.
It's a huge number, and we'll look at how they intend to close it.
Then we're diving deep into the recent Q3 earnings report. We'll show you exactly how those results reveal massive operational efficiency and highlight the crucial and I think often misunderstood strategic bets they're making, especially around major acquisitions.
And finally, we're going to break down Coinbase's own multi-phase vision. It's a three-step framework for the future of crypto adoption. And this framework shows you exactly how they plan to move from being just an investment platform to being the core financial operating system for the world.
So let's start by setting the scene a bit with some historical context. Coinbase used to be the undisputed king of crypto stocks. This was back in 2021.
Oh!
If you wanted a simple single proxy for the entire crypto market, everyone, and I mean everyone, pointed at the coin ticker.
That was truly the easy time for them, wasn't it? The competitive landscape just changed so quickly, I think faster than anyone really predicted. And the sources we have confirm this change is being driven by pressure from two completely different directions.
Okay, so let's take the external pressures first. What exactly is pulling liquidity away from direct exchange trading? It's not just one thing.
No, it's the maturation of the traditional financial system finally adapting to crypto. The big one, of course, is the introduction of spot Bitcoin and Ethereum ETFs. I
Yeah.
mean, that has opened entirely new doors for institutional and retail investors who, they prefer the comfort of their traditional brokerage accounts. They don't want a new app.
They want to use their Fidelity login.
Exactly. This development, while it's great for crypto adoption overall, has simultaneously pulled significant liquidity away from direct exchanges like Coinbase. Why would a boomer trade crypto on a new app when they can just buy the exact same asset inside their 401k? It's a no-brainer for them.
That makes perfect sense. And then you have the peer pressure, the sort of internal competition from other fintech giants.
Precisely. We have companies like Robinhood, which we already mentioned, and Circle, and they're deepening their crypto offerings. Robinhood, in particular, has leveraged its massive existing retail user base.
A user base that's already comfortable with trading.
Yes, that's the key. They're already on the platform trading stocks. So Robinhood offers them extremely low fee, sometimes totally commission-free crypto trading.
And that creates a huge pressure point that Coinbase's original, higher fee model just wasn't built to withstand in the long run.
Not for that segment of the market, no.
Which, again, circles us right back to that completely misleading data point we opened with. You know, Robinhood up 345% versus Coinbase only up 2.39%. When you look at that, it's just so easy for a casual observer to conclude that Coinbase is fundamentally failing. that they can't keep pace in this consumer-focused, cost-cutting race to the bottom.
It is a harsh short-term snapshot, but this is the absolute core of our analysis today. Smart investors aren't investing in the short-term trading app race. They're not.
No.
They're looking way beyond that immediate performance chart, and they're focusing on the foundational shifts that are underpinning the Coinbase business model. They are betting on infrastructure.
And foundationally, the valuation puzzle is extremely striking, especially when we talk about that long-term potential.
It is. I mean, today, Coinbase sits at a market capitalization of around, what, $71 billion?
A huge company. But the truly aspirational figure analysts throw around, and it's a big, big number, is that previous prediction that Coinbase could eventually reach a $1 trillion valuation.
A trillion.
That is a gigantic gap. It seems almost like fantasy right now.
It is so far from a trillion, certainly. But this is where we have to look really closely at the analyst modeling. They often view this massive gap not as a failure to deliver on some original promise,
right,
but as a current and very deep undervaluation. They are positioning 2025 and 2026 as the pivotal turning point years for the company.
How in the world do they justify a potential trillion-dollar figure? I mean, you have to move way beyond simple brokerage fees for that.
Oh, absolutely. The trillion-dollar valuation is based almost entirely on the success of that everything exchange vision, and specifically phase three, which we'll get to later. The way analysts model this is by assuming Coinbase successfully captures a percentage of massive global markets, not just crypto trading. They're looking at them capturing settlement fees from global digital payments, institutional clearing services, and decentralized application monetization.
So like real-world utility.
Exactly. For instance, if their Layer 2 blockchain base captures even a small single-digit percentage of the global instant payment volume that's currently handled by traditional rails like SWIFT or ACH.
It's just a tiny slice.
A tiny slice. The valuation quickly jumps from billions to hundreds of billions. It's a bet on them becoming core financial infrastructure, like a utility.
So if 2025 is the beginning of this turning point for the infrastructure model, what are the two main driving forces the sources suggest are required to shift the business from $71 billion to something much, much larger?
It requires two things to align perfectly. It needs regulatory trust, and it needs deep proprietary infrastructure.
Okay, let's elaborate on the regulatory side. The sources are indicating a long-awaited shift in the U.S. government's posture toward digital assets.
Yeah.
It seems like we're moving away from pure enforcement toward actually defining things.
Yes, finally. The U.S. government is showing signs of warming up to the idea of defining crypto assets, not just suing them. The sources we have note that a comprehensive regulatory clarity bill is being actively discussed right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reasonable expectation of it passing late this year or, you know, maybe early next.
What's the massive implication of a bill like that passing? Why does regulatory clarity unlock the next tier of growth in a way that just sheer volume alone can't?
Because clarity unlocks the institutional floodgates. It's that simple. If you are a massive pension fund or a sovereign wealth fund or a major bank managing trillions of dollars,
you can't touch it.
You cannot, by your own mandate, touch assets that lack regulatory definition and stable qualified custody. You need trust. You need certainty.
And Coinbase has been positioning itself for years to be that trusted partner.
Exactly. They have spent years and, frankly, hundreds of millions of dollars building the compliance framework, the custody solutions, the institutional sales team, specifically to meet these incredibly stringent requirements.
Right.
They're viewed by those institutions as the safest, most compliant, and most institution-friendly platform operating in the U.S. And that is an enormous competitive moat that many of these offshore competitors who are focused purely on leverage and volume, they simply cannot build that overnight.
So compliance is their most valuable asset right now.
It absolutely is.
That brings us directly to the second force that's required for this long-term bet, which is the proprietary infrastructure investment. While competitors were out there slashing fees or chasing short-term hype, Coinbase was quietly focused on building foundations.
And the core strategic move here was monumental. I mean, launching Base, their own Layer 2 blockchain. Now, we defined L2 briefly earlier, but for the listener who knows this topic well, let's go a layer deeper.
Let's unpack this. So the Layer 2 system, or L2, is essentially a high-speed scaling network that's built on top of a highly secure decentralized foundation like Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
It handles transactions quickly and cheaply off the main chain. Then it bundles them up and settles them securely back on that main chain.
And specifically, Base uses what's called an optimistic roll-up architecture. This is actually important for our audience. Optimistic roll-ups assume transactions are valid by default, which is what makes them so fast.
The optimistic part.
Exactly. But they allow for a challenge window, a period where fraudulent transactions can be proven wrong and then reversed. It's a trade-off for speed.
Why did Coinbase choose to disrupt its own business model by launching this L2? I mean, wouldn't near zero fees just cannibalize their existing exchange revenue? It seems counterintuitive.
It absolutely does in the short term, and it's a great question, but it created an enormous long-term edge. They recognize that the future of finance needs speed and near zero cost to enable mass adoption.
You can't have $5 fees for a $1 coffee.
Precisely. Think microtransactions, supply chain logistics, global payments. By controlling Base, they control the underlying rails that power those billions of future transactions. This allows them to monetize through platform fees and stablecoin revenue, which is far more scalable and predictable than retail brokerage fees.
So tell me about Base's benefits now that it's live and it seems to be gaining some critical mass.
Well, Base combines several crucial factors that no other competitor can easily match. First, they have a huge existing user base already tied to Coinbase accounts. That's millions of people who can be onboarded
A
instantly.
built-in audience.
A massive one. Then you have the near zero fees for transactions, which is vital for consumer apps. You have extremely fast settlement times. And crucially, you have a rapidly growing developer ecosystem building decentralized applications, or dApps, on their rails.
And this combination, the regulated exchange, the institutional custody, and this proprietary scaling blockchain, this is precisely why they are earning that moniker, the Everything Exchange.
Precisely. There are very few competitors who can offer the combined seamless stack that Coinbase does today. They have the front-end exchange, their own scaling blockchain and Base, the institutional custody services securing assets for the biggest players, integration with major stablecoins like USDC, and the regulatory rails.
Wow.
All operating under one unified, compliant, and deeply integrated roof, that full stack is the genuine moat. It's like owning the hardware, the operating system, and the application store all at once.
Okay, so let's bring it back. Given the immense pressure from ETFs and competitors, and we've seen those contrasting stock performances, how crucial is regulatory clarity for Coinbase to truly achieve this everything exchange vision and, realize that $1 trillion potential?
It's the oxygen. Regulatory trust is the oxygen for institutional capital. Without clarity, the asset managers, the pension funds, the multinational corporations, they all stay entirely on the sidelines, regardless of how efficient Base is. Clarity opens the floodgates for the secure, compliant custody and settlement services that Coinbase is uniquely built to provide. Without the R word, that trillion-dollar figure, it just remains theoretical.
So regulatory trust, combined with that proprietary infrastructure, is the key that unlocks the massive institutional markets for Coinbase.
That's the core thesis.
Right. So moving from those big structural future-oriented forces to the more immediate financial performance, Q3 was a pivotal quarter for Coinbase.
It really was.
It offered investors a very clear quantitative look at this everything exchange vision in action, showing that the company isn't just surviving, it's optimizing aggressively.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Let's start with the top-line revenue story, which seems incredibly strong despite what the sources called a choppy market, which implies, lower general hype. Total transaction revenue hit a substantial $1.87 billion. And when you break down that growth, it was 25% quarter over quarter and an impressive 55% year over year.
That kind of acceleration in revenue, especially during a market environment that wasn't characterized by some massive bull run enthusiasm, that tells you they are systematically gaining market share.
It does, especially on the institutional side.
But the retail segment, that still remains a bit of a financial headache, right? It's famously volatile.
It does. Retail transactions are still the most volatile segment. They make up roughly 25% of the total revenue. And that percentage, it rises and falls directly with market sentiment, with the general crypto hype cycle.
So when Bitcoin is on the news, that number goes up.
Exactly. But the other 75%, which is driven by subscriptions, services, and institutional activity, that's where the stability and the strategic growth are actually located.
Here's where it gets really interesting, I think, for anyone analyzing their financial maturity. It's the diversification metric.
The diversification is phenomenal. I mean, it signals a massive shift away from being a single product company. The sources highlight that Coinbase now has eight separate product lines generating over $100 million in annualized revenue.
Eight. And even more impressively, five separate products are bringing in over $100 million per quarter.
Per quarter.
I mean, think about that spread. That is a remarkable level of product maturity across their platform. It demonstrates that if one revenue stream, say retail trading, slows down, there are seven others ready to pick up the slack.
And this broad, stable base of revenue led to a massive jump in overall net income. Coinbase posted $401 million in net income. That's a huge 477% jump year over year.
Wow.
That isn't just proof that they're processing more volume. It's proof they are managing their costs effectively and scaling really, really efficiently.
Okay. To truly understand this operational health, especially in a growing tech company, we have to look past the statutory net income and dive into adjusted EBITDA. Let's quickly define that again, but give it some context for the listener.
Sure. So adjusted EBITDA, it stands for earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. It's a favorite metric for analysts because it strips out all the non-cash items and any one-time events. It gives you the clearest, most organic view of core operational profitability.
Just the raw money they make from running the business day to day.
That's it. And their Q3 adjusted EBITDA results were shockingly strong.
Extremely strong.
It came in at $801 million, which is up 78% year over year. And crucially, the sources emphasize this. That $801 million figure excludes a large paper boost they got in Q2 from an investment in Circle.
Right. That was valued at $1.1 billion.
So that's not in this number. The Q3 number is pure organic operational performance strength. It proves that the old high-fee structure isn't necessary for their survival. Efficiency is.
And look at their efficiency benchmark. I mean, their EBITDA margin is floating impressively between 40% and 60%.
That is an elite level of operational efficiency. I mean, most tech companies, even profitable giants like Microsoft or Google, would genuinely envy a margin like that.
It's incredible.
It shows an incredible ability to scale their revenue without proportionally scaling their operational costs. It's likely through high automation, reduced headcount needs per transaction, and massive cloud hosting optimizations. This efficiency provides the fuel for their big strategic bets.
Okay, now let's turn to the spending side of the equation. Expenses were up a significant 34% year over year. That would alarm a lot of investors, but the source material attributes this entirely to strategic investments, not, you know, wasteful operational spending.
And this is the critical distinction. It's the difference between a management team that's chasing short-term metrics versus one that's building a long-term, unassailable moat. The single biggest investment driving that expense jump was the acquisition of Deribit for $2.9 billion.
And Deribit, for our listeners, is the largest global crypto options and futures platform. It largely serves offshore institutional clients.
It is. And the strategic rationale for spending almost $3 billion when your stock looks sluggish is crystal clear. Derivatives, specifically options and regulated futures, are becoming the single most critical component of future global crypto markets.
Right.
Institutional investors, hedge funds, sophisticated market makers, they don't just want spot Bitcoin. They need hedging tools, leveraged instruments, complex options chains to manage their risk.
So by acquiring Deribit, Coinbase isn't just buying market share or revenue. They are buying and controlling crucial high-value infrastructure that feeds institutional flows globally.
It's infrastructure-first thinking in its purest form. And yeah, it might look expensive today, spending $2.9 billion when your stock has barely moved for the year. But this move guarantees that when that regulatory clarity we discussed earlier finally arrives, Coinbase will control the most important compliant on-ramps for institutional derivatives trading. Not just simple spot trading.
That is the ultimate long bet. It's betting on the regulated future of sophisticated finance.
It reminds me of the analogy that the sources draw. This really mirrors the kind of strategic infrastructure first bets that turned companies like Amazon investing heavily in logistics and cloud computing, or Apple owning the entire device stack into the giants they are today.
Yeah.
Coinbase is buying the rails and the most sophisticated tools, not just renting them from third parties.
You know, it requires massive conviction. I still wrestle with prompt drift myself, right? This kind of long-term strategic bet, spending almost $3 billion when the short-term numbers look rough. That requires a massive leap of faith and conviction from the leadership to justify that short-term pain to shareholders. It's hard to prioritize a 2030 vision over 2024 bottom line.
It certainly demands conviction, and I think the Q3 numbers show they have the financial strength to back that conviction. Let me turn the question back to you. Based on these Q3 figures, what is the single most significant takeaway regarding Coinbase's overall financial maturity?
I think the most significant takeaway is their ability to scale. That high operational efficiency, the consistent 40 to 60% adjusted EBITDA margin, it means they're generating cash flow that's strong enough to fund these massive strategic investments, like the Deribit acquisition, entirely internally. They're mature. They're not relying on unsustainable debt or external funding rounds to execute their long-term vision.
So their high operational efficiency allows them to self-fund massive strategic growth.
We'll be right back after a short break. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
So we've established the regulatory context and the financial backbone. Now let's look at the end game. Coinbase Management doesn't view crypto adoption as one single chaotic trend.
No.
They have a very clear, very deliberate three-phase framework for how digital asset integration is going to happen, moving progressively deeper into the mainstream economy with each step.
And phase one is the most familiar one to everybody. It's the original entry point, where Coinbase built its entire reputation, crypto as an investment.
Correct. The user behavior here is simple. Retail users and institutions buy crypto purely expecting the price to rise. It's speculation.
The classic use case.
Exactly. And Coinbase dominates this phase via their easy onboarding, best-in-class user experience, and deep market liquidity. That was their bread and butter for the first decade.
But they are pushing far beyond just simple spot trading and, you know, HODs.
Oh, yeah. They're systematically expanding their offerings to cater to more professional market needs. This includes expansion into sophisticated spot trading, futures, and, as we just discussed with Deribit, regulated options. This expansion strengthens their everything exchange strategy by serving the professional trader with the same quality and compliance as the beginner.
And they hit a very quiet but very significant regulatory milestone in Q3 regarding derivatives.
They did. The sources confirmed they launched the first CFTC-regulated perpetual futures in the U.S.
Now, this is a game changer.
It really is. Perpetual futures, which are contracts that never expire, are a highly demanded, high-volume product that was previously only available on offshore, much riskier exchanges.
Right.
By bringing this product into the strictly regulated U.S. environment, they are consolidating market share and institutionalizing a massive trading vertical.
And we absolutely cannot overlook the custody moat in phase one. This is a non-sexy, but highly profitable and utterly crucial advantage that I think few people really discuss.
It is the most powerful institutional advantage they possess, bar none. Coinbase secures over 80% of all U.S. Bitcoin and Ethereum ETF assets.
80%.
And in total, they are holding over $300 billion in custody for clients.
$300 billion. You have to put that into perspective.
Yeah.
That is more assets than many global banks and asset managers hold.
Think about that magnitude. No other company in the crypto space holds that level of regulated institutional trust or manages that volume of sensitive assets under such high compliance standards. That trust factor, it positions them not just as a trading platform, but as the essential foundational infrastructure layer for every major traditional financial institution that wants to enter the digital asset space.
They are the safe deposit box for the new digital economy.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Okay, so that covers phase one, investment, speculation, and institutional access. Now, phase two, crypto as a financial service. This is where the core business shifts dramatically from pure speculation into tangible utility.
This is the shift to real-world, everyday utility. People start using digital assets the way they use traditional financial tools like, you know, payment processing, credit lines, or international transfers. This is where the volatility needs to be tamed, usually by stablecoins.
So how is Coinbase building the institutional rails for this massive phase?
They've focused heavily on creating seamless infrastructure, things like payment APIs and embedded wallets. These are the unsung engines of phase two.
The plumbing.
Exactly, the plumbing. These tools allow any business, a small e-commerce shop or a multinational corporation, to accept stablecoin payments instantly. It essentially cuts out the slow, expensive, traditional payment processors like credit card companies. They also allow any application developer to go on-chain with a single integration, hiding all the complexity of crypto from the end user.
So that infrastructure completely transforms Coinbase from just a trading venue into a sophisticated financial services engine that's powering other businesses' operations.
Exactly. They are becoming the invisible utility layer, and we're already seeing the proof of concept in their consumer products, like the Coinbase One card, which offers up to 4% Bitcoin cash back on purchases.
The adoption proof here is really essential validation, isn't it?
It is. The sources indicate that users have spent over $100 million through the Coinbase card since it launched. That metric, $100 million in real-world spending, it profoundly validates the idea that consumers are ready and willing to integrate crypto rewards and digital assets into their everyday purchases.
It's working.
It proves the shift is happening. It's moving beyond just HODL to use and to utility.
Now, phase three, crypto as an app platform. This is the ultimate massive goal. This is the final endgame vision that justifies all that $1 trillion valuation talk.
This is where everything converges. This is where Coinbase stops being just a financial institution and starts becoming a technology platform. The vision is for Coinbase to become not just a trading platform, but the standardized gateway, the open app store for an entire on-chain ecosystem, what some people call Web3.
And the backbone of this phase three vision is, of course, Base.
Base, the layer two blockchain we discussed, is absolutely central. It allows developers to build social platforms, games, payment rails, and sophisticated financial services directly on chain with massive scalability and, crucially, with near zero fees.
So Coinbase wants Base to become the foundational operating system for decentralized finance and internet applications globally.
That's the ambition. And this ambition ties back deeply to their strategic partnership with Circle and the USDC stablecoin.
It's an ingenious model.
It is. Coinbase shares 50-50 of the revenue with Circle on USDC adoption. So as Base and all the decentralized applications running on it grow and stablecoin use skyrockets for cross-border payments and in-app transactions, Coinbase benefits financially. They are positioning themselves to act essentially like a tax collector, a platform fee collector on a highly efficient global digital economy.
The competitive moat built in phase three then becomes extremely difficult to breach because they control that entire vertical stack.
Think about what they own. They have the exchange for the entry liquidity. They have Base for the high-speed transaction engine. They have the institutional custody services for security, the wallet infrastructure for user identity, and the stablecoin rails or payment settlement.
All the pieces.
Controlling that full stack means that even if every user shifts fully to open, decentralized on-chain services, Coinbase still owns the highway, the toll booth, and the on-ramp.
Whoa. I mean, that scale is staggering. Imagine scaling Base to support a billion daily on-chain queries, and not just trades, but queries from apps, games, and institutional settlements. That kind of global infrastructure dominance is what they are targeting. It's moving from being a necessary broker to genuinely becoming the default internet operating system for finance.
That is the level of ambition. They are securing the foundation for the entire decentralized internet, and they're betting that users will choose the compliant, secure, easy-to-access ecosystem that they control.
So, considering these three phases, investment, financial service, and app platform, which phase represents the biggest risk, but simultaneously offers the highest reward for Coinbase's trillion-dollar potential.
Phase three, the app platform, represents the highest risk, hands down. I mean, building an operating system is incredibly hard, and if Base fails to gain critical developer mass against competing L2s or even centralized competitors, the vision collapses. But if it succeeds, they stop being reliant on crypto market cycles and they become a permanent foundational utility company. That is the highest reward possible.
So phase three, the app platform, offers the highest potential reward by making them the foundational operating system.
That is the long bet that justifies all the current strategic spending.
We've drilled down pretty deeply today, moving far beyond just the simple stock performance numbers. To summarize the massive transformation, Coinbase is actively managing an incredibly difficult competitive market one, where their stock performance looks weak in the short term by fundamentally transforming their business structure right now.
Yeah, they're strategically shifting from a volatile retail transaction-heavy trading exchange into a high-margin diversified financial infrastructure giant.
Yeah.
They're executing this everything exchange vision by necessity and by design.
Let's quickly reiterate the three crucial drivers we identified. First, their long-term positioning is secured by years of building regulatory trust. They are positioned perfectly for those institutional floodgates to open once a clarity bill passes.
Making compliance their moat.
Exactly. Second, their Q3 financial performance wasn't just good, it was robust and highly efficient. They showed remarkable operational strength, which was evidenced by those impressive 40 to 60% adjusted EBITDA margins and rapid product diversification. They are financially mature enough to fund massive internal and external growth themselves.
And third, the strategic long bets. The cornerstone infrastructure Base, which actually disrupts their own fees, and that massive targeted acquisition of Deribit. Those are ensuring they control critical infrastructure layers for both future institutional derivatives trading and mass consumer adoption via the app platform.
Essentially, they are betting that the future of finance, whether it's highly regulated institutional custody or frictionless global individual payments or decentralized consumer applications,
it will all be built on the safe, compliant rails they provide. They're aiming for ubiquity.
The true success of the everything exchange model, then, will not just be measured in transaction revenue, which we know remains volatile and dependent on retail hype. So what will the ultimate measure of success be?
It will be measured entirely in how quickly and how successfully Phase 3, the app platform, migrates global financial utility onto Base. If Base becomes the default layer 2 for billions of daily transactions and mass market applications, Coinbase stops being a brokerage and genuinely becomes the default, indispensable internet operating system for finance. And that is the ultimate provocative thought for you to consider as you track their progress.
That's a profound thought to end on. It makes you reflect deeply on the concept of infrastructure-first thinking in the tech world. It's always the hardest, it's the most expensive, and often the slowest bet to make.
Mm-hmm.
But historically, it's the one that pays off the biggest dividends in the long run.
It really shows that sometimes the stock that appears to be moving the slowest is actually the one building the deepest, most resilient foundations. Thank you for trusting us with your source material and allowing us to perform this deep dive into Coinbase's structural shift.
We appreciate you sharing your material with us. We will see you on the next deep dive.